Before homily, I have one announcement. Some people came to me and asked me this question. I think it's time for me to address that. So some people came to me and told me, Father John, won't you ordain with Father Charlie together? I said, nope. I was ordained 4 minutes faster than him. So I'm a senior. I have a seniority for 4 minutes. And then the person, some people ask me and say, well, Father, then it's time for you to move on, right? Don't you think that it's time for you to become a pastor? I know that you become a pastor sometime in the past. Don't you need to move on? It's time for me to say something about it. My brothers and sisters, according to the statistic, this parish, the parochial vicar, the average length of parochial vicar was less than 1 year. 1 year, right? My brothers and sisters, that jinx has been broken. I am not going anywhere. Thank you. What I want to say is, your suffering with the Korean accent priest continues. I'm sorry. Thank you. But the reason why I'm not moving is I have been admitted to the further study program. I became a student. I was admitted to the graduate school at the Fordham University in New York. It's a hybrid program. Therefore, while I'm doing the ministry here, I actually take the class or program called the Doctorate of Ministry in Spirituality. So in 3 or 4 years, you might end up with a hearing from me. From now on, you can call me Dr. Father, Doctor, whatever you want to call it. So that is the reason why I'm very grateful that Bishop allows me to stay to serve you as a parochial vicar while I am studying. So from time to time, you will hear I might need to go to the New York to study some programs there. So that is the reason why. So now you know why I am not going anywhere. So you don't need to ask that question anymore. But again, 4 minutes earlier than Father Charlie, okay? I'm sure that we all have this particular experience. In the time of a tribulation or suffering of our life, while our life is a hit on the rock, we naturally want, what do? Naturally search for God's presence and help. Lord, help me. Where are you? Yet, we all had that experience. I hope that we all, if you haven't, then bless your heart. Yet, somehow God sounded silent. God was not there. It is as if God was sleeping. We might wonder, at the time like that, why did Jesus, who is God, and therefore all-powerful, and allow himself to fall asleep just when things were getting really tough, really scary for his followers? Jesus, why are you sleeping then? When we are scary, when we are in trouble, don't you think that you are the one who wake up and just wipe away? And yet, you are sleeping. Maybe we will not be on a boat during the storm that threatens to sink us, but each one of us will run up against some kind of storm before we die. Let me give you some example. It may be a long and painful sickness of a loved one or yourself, or death of a beloved child. I cannot imagine. Damage caused by a family member's addictions and infidelities. Ravages of war. Horrible yet unexpected natural disaster like this. Financial ruin. Or maybe just intense, heart-seeking, sickening loneliness. Why does all-powerful God go to sleep in our boats and let these storms rage against us. By the way, this is a storm, not the Dr. Storm, by the way, just in case. I wish I could give you a good answer because I struggle too. But here's the answer that I can provide it for you. The catechism tells us that we will not understand God's way fully until we meet Him face to face on the other side of the death. Aww. Catechism number 324. Let me read it slowly for you. Catechism number 324. The fact that God permits physical and even moral evil is a mystery that God illuminates by His Son Jesus Christ, who died and rose to vanquish evil. Basically, what he's saying is God even allowed His Son to suffer. Faith gives us the certainty that God would not permit an evil if He did not cause a good to come from that very evil, by ways that we shall fully know only in eternal life. Unquote. Now, still, right? So does it mean that we cannot understand God's intention at all in this life? Not quite so. I mean, we can understand God's ways partially if we understand God's agenda. God's agenda in for our lives. Partially. Unfortunately, God's agenda for our brief journey through this earth is not perfect comfort. No. Good example is Jesus. And unbroken pleasure? No. Rather, He wants us to achieve the wisdom, courage, and joy, and inner balance of spiritual maturity. In other words, He wants us to get in shape for heaven. And that involves learning to trust in Him more than in ourselves. Learning that we are not all powerful. It's hard to learn because it goes directly against the spiritual DNA we have all inherited from original sin. The first sin against God by the first humanity made us have the tendency to do wrong easier than to do good. If I have a Coke Zero and healthy water, guess what I'm going to drink? Most likely, I'm going to grab the Coke Zero. I want to be healthy. I want to drink the water. But somehow, my heart always goes to Coke Zero somehow. St. Paul says a really wonderful one. Romans 7, 19 and 24. This is St. Paul says. Romans 7, 19 and 24. For I do not do the good I want. I do not do the good I want. But the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Sounds familiar? Huh? So sometimes we feel that God goes to sleep in our boats and lets the storm rage. We feel that so that we will come to know and accept the reality of our limitations and the truth of our dependence on Him. I need to depend on God. I need to trust in God because I cannot do this alone. Does this mean that God abandoned me? Does this mean that God does not care for me until I straighten up my life? No, not at all. Let me share my story. I remember when I was at the seminary, one day, I seriously doubted about myself. I seriously doubted about myself. Complete loneliness. This is often referred to as vocation crisis. Every seminarian went through this, almost everybody. Am I good enough? Am I good enough to be a priest? There are 1,000 good men out there. Why did you choose me, such a sinner? Is it worth to even get away from my family, my relatives, my friends to serve here in the U.S.? Will people accept me as I am? I spent almost 5 years day by day to fix my accent. I personally volunteered. I achieved 93%. And this 7% somehow, I cannot fix it. This is what my speech therapist told me. At the time, I was a seminarian. He said, John, accept who you are. Come on. So in the midst of this vocation crisis, I remember spending many, many hours searching for God's will and direction. You got to help me. You got to show me. But he was completely silent. Nada. Nothing. Lord, nothing. I sat down in the chapel looking at the Blessed Sacrament. Give me the answer, Lord. Nope, nada. It is as if God was like doing this. Then one day I read the Matthew's version of today's gospel, which is chapter 23 and below. And I was so agony. Lord, why are you sleeping? I need you. Don't you care for me at all? Do you really want to leave now? I guess that's it. Then Jesus spoke to me. Because I want you to be stronger, John. Your life will be filled with the storms of others. All these people who are struggling with the storms will come to you. It's inevitable to face all those rolls of waves in the sea, and you carry on your own thing, but you will carry others. And then all you have to do is, John, you are missing the point. All you have to do is look at me. Just look at me. In the midst of storm, I am with you right there. I am not going to silence the storm. Storm will be there. But John, look at me. Guess who's with you now in this boat? Look at me, John. I am with you. And then, sooner or later, great calm will come to you. So my brother, have faith, Jesus said. I offer the same thing to you. I'm sure some of you struggle. I'm sure you feel like you are in the boat right now. Jesus is sleeping. God says, I'm sure some of you might feel that way now. Let me offer you this. Remember, in this boat, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Look at him. Look at him. He's with you. That's all that matters. I remember the day when I received the Holy Communion. When Jesus came, I met Jesus right there. My wretched boat, but he came. And I saw Jesus. Jesus was right here. I remember I was crying like a baby. Imagine this seminarian, right? After Mass, everybody was like walking there. From time to time, we may feel as if God was sleeping, almost like God abandoned me, God abandoned us, but I assure you, He's not. He's not. He permits this so that we may grow our faith in the Lord. I promise you, if you go through this difficult time, when you look back, you will realize, I got it. That's why. That's why these things all happen. That's why God permitted this. Because of the experience, when I face your storm and my storm, I rush back to Jesus in my boat, even though whether he's sleeping, he's looking at me, he's not, I feel like he's not there, I know that he's there. And I look at him. And he is with me. If our final destination is on earth, this is nothing. If our life is done here, this is the end. This is it. And this is terrible. Yes, God is terrible. Then. But our final destination is not here. But our final destination is in complete union with God. Then it's worthwhile to learn how to be stronger. So one day, someday, when I see God face to face, Lord, this is how I bring it to you, Lord. I took my journey, I took my faith, my journey is complete, my mission is over, Lord. Now, may I join you. Come, join me, John. It will come. At least the catechism says so. So my brothers and sisters, therefore, when we receive Holy Communion today, wherever you are, I really want you to today focus on Jesus. When Jesus comes to you, look at him, please. Look at him. I really hope that he will show you his amazing smile to you and say, well done, my sister. Well done, my brother. Let's walk together until we see God the Father face to face. Until that moment, my brothers and sisters, we walk by faith, not by sight.